Today we're going to learn a tiny section of the third very long reading of Parshas Mishpatim. They're all long, these readings. Whatever is not long in the scripture, in the Chumash itself, Rashi makes it up for you. So they're all like micro sections, really like entire tractates covered like in a few verses. And we're going to take a look at the notion of exploitation, taking advantage of people who have weakened or little defense or actually defenseless. Chapter 22, verse 20. V'ger le'seine. The first thing we speak about is the proselyte, the convert, the stranger, the foreigner who has come to join the Jewish people, entering into the fold of Am Yisrael, and he doesn't have a background. He doesn't have parents and grandparents. He doesn't have uncles. Doesn't have cousins. There's no extended family. He's a ger. He's a foreigner. He's joined the Jewish people on his own. His family is outside the fold of Judaism. And as such, the Torah says that you have to be exceptionally careful about the way you treat him. Leisayne. You shall not exploit or take advantage of him. Leisilchatzeno. You shall not apply unnecessary pressure or duress. Because you yourselves were strangers or foreigners in the land of Egypt. So it says two things here. We talk about leisoyne. There's this idea of don't harass, don't exploit. And then there's this idea of leisilchatzeno, which comes, shares the root word of the idea of apply pressure. So Rashi says, the ger leisoyne, einoaz devarim. This refers to the notion of taking advantage, exploiting somebody with your words. And he gives us a French word, which doesn't do very much for me. Coutliar or something. Rashi says that we find this idea of a no, even though there's no aleph here. Because usually ona, which is the noun, is spelled with an aleph. Ona, with an aleph. Here there's no aleph. Sona, it doesn't say sona. So Rashi says, kumai, for example, in the pasuk of Yeshayo, Chapter 49, verse 26, it says, "V'ha'echalti moynayich es besorim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about the future, the redemption. And he says that I will give the animals of the field the flesh of those who harass, exploit, or take advantage of you as Jewish people. Be aware, anti-Semites, this is what's coming your way. But the point is, it doesn't say it with an aleph. It says moynayich, it doesn't say moynayich. And we can see, therefore, that the word leisoyne can refer to the concept of exploitation and harassment, even though the aleph is missing, and it refers here to doing so in a fiduciary sense. So you take advantage of somebody in business. He's not wise, he doesn't understand. You tell him a story that you're selling him a fancy talus, it's a holy talus, it's only going to be $700 for him. The thing costs like 70 bucks. You're taking advantage of his naivete. Naivete of he doesn't know, or he's afraid to ask, feels uncomfortable, or because he doesn't have background, he says, oh yeah, sure, of course I know about that. And in the meantime, you're taking advantage of him. So then what's Silchotzenu? So Rashi says Silchotzenu is outright theft. Gzeilas mamon. That's when you're literally taking advantage of somebody by taking his finances in an illegal way. Rashi calls it like robbery. It's very interesting. If you look in Sefer HaMitzvos, it doesn't exactly work out this way. But in Pshut HaShom Mikra, on the literal level, that's the way we understand it. The Ralbag says that Leisil Chatzenu, that Einoa is the idea of Einoa's Dvarim, using your words, exploiting somebody with your words. Like, for example, talking about where somebody came from, even if you make it sound as if you're being nice, like saying, wow, look at you, the pork eater. He's now speaking words of Torah. What an amazing transformation. And the guy is flushing red. You have to say I was a pork eater in front of everybody. Is that really important to discuss my diet from yesterday? And then the Ralbag says, Leisilchatzeno means taking advantage of somebody in a fiduciary sense. But Rashi focuses this entirely on the idea of money. Whether you're taking advantage of somebody. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it's interesting. Leisilchatzeno, Rashi is only gzeilas mamon. He knows dvarim. Is leisoyne, but silchotzeno is, he says, gzeilas mamon. Whereas the Ralbag emphasizes taking advantage of somebody, of his circumstances, situation. And why should you not do this? Ki geirim ha'yisim. So this refers to the notion of ger le'seina, which the pasuk opened with. Rashi says, im ha'inesai, if you do that, afu yachol ha'inascha. If you come to him and say to him, with a naz dvarim, say, how look at you. You used to worship idols. Now you came to serve Hashem? Or who gave you the right to open your mouth? You come from nowhere. You don't really have a stake in our destiny. You're an idolater. You just be quiet. You'd be lucky we let you in. Or something like that. So Rashi says, Afu yachol lehinoscha, he can say it back to you. And what were you? What were your ancestors? Where did they come from? We come from a bunch of idolaters. That's who our ancestors were in Mitzrayim. Mum shebcha al temer lechavercha. Your own deficiency is not wise to point out to somebody else. So for us to come along and exploit somebody's background or somebody's lack of background is totally inappropriate because we have actually the same story. Rashi says, Kol Lashon Ger, whenever we use the verbiage, the expression of a foreigner, we're talking about Adam Shalei Nolad Ba'isei Medina, a person who wasn't born in this country. Ela Ba Medina Acheres, he came from another country, Lagur Sham, to live there. You know, a prime example of this kind of harassment and exploitation and taking advantage was for Jewish people who came here after the war. And it's not in a compliment to the local Jews who called them green echayas. They called them the green, like green bananas. They called them like green animals. They don't understand, you know, the culture over here. They're not acculturated to our way of life. They speak with an accent. And they made fun of them. It's very not nice. Not a nice thing. So the Torah says when a person's a foreigner and comes, they have to be treated with the proper dignity and respect. So non-exploitation ultimately equals dignity and giving somebody the honor that he or she deserves. This is how the notion of exploitation opens, speaking about foreigners, gadim, converts, people who join the Jewish people. And then it moves into a totally different level. The Torah says now in verse 21, Kol almona, any widow, v'yosem, or an orphan, lo yisa'anun, you should not exploit to take advantage of. What's going on here? Why do we emphasize kol almona v'yosum leisa anun? So Rashi says, what does that mean? If it's not a widow, and if it's not an orphan, go ahead, exploit away, take advantage. What does that mean? And it says kol. Kol comes like come to emphasize. So Rashi says, hu adin l'chol adam. The same applies to every single person. You're not allowed to exploit anybody. You're not allowed to utilize somebody's weakness or somebody's lack of defenses to take advantage of them. So then why does the Torah say, kol almana? It should say, kol Yisrael. Or just say, loy sa'anun. Don't take advantage. Don't exploit anybody. Obviously, you don't pick a fight with a person who's twice your size. You're not going to try to exploit somebody who's three times your wisdom and has more friends and a bigger family. How are you going to exploit him? He'll turf you out in 2 seconds. So obviously exploitation only takes place for those who are weak. The word exploitation in and of itself essentially emphasizes and underlines the idea that somebody has a weakness, that somebody doesn't have the strength. You're in a position of strength and they're in a position of weakness, and because of that you exploit them. So why does the Torah have to give us an example altogether? A widow, an orphan, don't take advantage, don't exploit them. Don't exploit anybody. And Rashi says, Hu adin? It's the same thing applies, the chaladim. So why does the Torah use an example? So Rashi says, Elishadibra kosav behave. The pasuk speaks to you about something which is common. Lefi because, Shehem tishushe koyach. People in this circumstance or situation are naturally weakened. V'davar matzui la'anaisam. And it is common for people to take advantage of others who are in a weakened situation. These people were not always weak. They were once strong. Circumstances have weakened them. Human nature is not a pretty thing. Human nature takes advantage. Human nature exploits. That's human nature. That's the way people are wired. But the Torah, of course, tells us not to be the way we are, to change the things that come naturally, to get off the path of least resistance, and given into our Yetzirah, and instead travel the path of greatest resistance and do what is right and what is moral, which is often what is difficult and challenging. And because of this, the people who might be easily exploited, one has to be extra careful about. The Ramban says that the idea of kol is to tell you that these people are easily moved to tears. They're emotionally raw. This is an example of people who not only may not have the means to defend themselves or protect themselves or provide to themselves, but people who are emotionally raw. And because of the raw nature of their emotion, you have to be extra careful. The Chizkuni says, the point of kol almana is, it makes no difference what somebody's financial situation is. It doesn't matter if it's a widow or orphan who are multimillionaires or poor as, forgive me, church mice. That's not the point. The point is not because we naturally think if they're missing their provider, so that's why they don't have any funds. That's why they don't have the ability to provide to themselves. Kol almana says it doesn't matter. It could be the queen. The point is you're dealing with somebody who is weakened, somebody who has lost their protector, and somebody whose emotions are raw, and as such, we have to be extra careful. And now the Torah gets really serious. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, listen up. Im ane sa'ane oisai. If you will exploit them, if you'll take advantage, ki im tzok yitzak alai, for they will come and scream out to me, shamoya eshma tzakosai, I will hear. If they will cry out, I'll be listening. And you should know, verse 23 follows up, v'chara api, my anger will flare. I will not stand for this. V'haragti eschem becherev, I will have you killed by the sword. V'hoyu nesheichem almanis, your own wives will become widows. Uvnechem yaseimim, your own children will become orphans. Very heavy. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, im ani sana isai. So this is a continuation. The whole pasuk is one long continuation. Im ane sane goes straight into ki tzoek yitzak alai. In other words, this is a reason for, it's all one continuation explaining why Hashem is going to be listening in an extra careful way and why you need to be extra careful. Hadeza mikra kotzer. Rashi says this verse is somewhat abbreviated. And it doesn't explain itself fully. Gizem, the Torah uses, maybe we're going to call it poetic license. The Torah emphasizes here. V'lei pidush anshei, it doesn't say what the punishment is going to be. It says, this is very bad. Don't you dare. You know when somebody says, this is very bad, don't you dare, that there's going to be consequences. Even if it didn't tell you what the consequences are. Don't you dare even try that. Or else what? You find that in the next verse. But when somebody says, don't you dare even try that, you know that they're serious about this. You know that they will not countenance this. So Hashem says, don't play around here. Im ane sana, you say, lest you take advantage, and a redundant expression. Ki im tzok yitzak, because they will cry out to me. And then you should know shemaya eshma. Every single one, all three parts of the pasuk are double. Ane sana is you will take advantage, you will exploit. And we use a redundant, the double expression, emphasizing how serious a matter this is. Tzoik yitzak, they will cry out to me, double. And finally, Hashem's response, Shamoya eshma tzakase, I will hear, it doesn't say eshma tzakase, it says Shamoya eshma. So Rashi goes on to say, Kimoi, for example, Lachain kol hoireg kayin. We have this pasuk in the fourth chapter of Genesis, where Cain kills Abel, and he's confronted by God. And Cain says, so does it? There's no room for me? Should I move to the moon? What will happen to me? Somebody's going to kill me. And God says, Lochein kol hoire Cain. Says over there, Shuvasayim yukam. Whoever will kill Cain, there'll be seven times a vengeance carried out. Gizim, the Torah uses hyperbole. V'lei pedish. It doesn't tell you, onche, what's going to happen. It just says, whoever touches Cain, there'll be vengeance coming, without saying what it is. Afkan, so to hear. Imane sana isai, lest you take advantage. If only you will exploit. And in Hebrew, when it's double, it's like saying very. This is a big deal. You will exploit. The Torah uses here kind of what you would call quotation marks or italics. It bolds it. There's an emphasis here. which is called hyperbole or gizem. So afkan imsan eislashin gizum kileimar soifcha litelas shalcha. If you will behave like that towards mine, I will take yours. And that's this idea that Hashem says that the widows and orphans are his family. So if you start up with his family, he'll make your family suffer the same consequences. And lama, and why is it so serious an infraction? So Rashi says, ki imtsoi kitzak alai, because they'll surely cry out to me. And eshme'enu ve'en kemenu, I will hear and I will exact vengeance. What will the vengeance be? Pasuk goes on to say, v'hoi nesheichem almanus. So Rashi says, one second, this pasuk is redundant. It says, v'chara api, my anger will flare. All right, that's a little scary, that's not good. What happens when God's anger flares? Harakti eschem b'cherev. You'll meet a violent end. Okay, if you meet a violent end, what's your wife's status? If a man, a married man, meets a violent end, his wife then is by default a widow. So why does the Torah have to say, v'hoyin nesheichem almanus? If he meets a violent end, what is the natural status of his children? What do you call his children? Orphans. So why does the Torah have to say,
v'nechem yisayim? The orphans are when they're parentless, not necessarily with one parent.
Even missing one point, it's called in Torah, it's called an orphan. God designed us to have two parents. If we're missing a parent, so we're missing something. So Rashi says, Mimash mashanema v'harakti eschem. Is it not obvious? Does it not intimate? If it says, and I will kill you, that's really what he says. Do I not know that this will result in widows and orphans? Ella. Rather, Rashi says, Rezu klal acheres. There's two separate kinds of curses that are being directed towards the person who exploits these individuals. Number one, Sheyiyu hanoshim tsururis. These women, of these men who took advantage of defenseless women, these women will be ka'almanus chayis, like living widows. What's a living widow? Obviously, it can't be a dead widow. What's a living widow? A living widow means shalayiya edim lemises ba'aleim. There'll be no testimony that the husband died. That's what you call a husband disappeared. So what is the technical status of the woman? She's a married woman. But she has no husband. Yeah, she's no husband. So, but what do you mean she's married? Well, we don't know that she isn't. So this is what you call a living widow. But she's trapped in a situation that she can't get out of. Tia sudasli nasi. She can't move on with life. She can't remarry. Why? Because she's a married woman. So she can never get out of the situation. Va'abonim yu yaseimim. What does it mean that children will be orphans? It means shle'anichem bezdin leided l'nichse avim. They cannot claim the residuals of their father. The father's dead. Great. So they'll take, at least they don't have a father, at least they have his residuals. At least they have his inheritance. That they can't have either. V'sha'in yedim im meisu im nishbu. We don't know if they're held captive somewhere. We don't know if they're dead. We know there was American soldiers that were held captive in Vietnam for decades. We still don't know where some of them are. But now they'll assume everybody's dead. And very, very few of them, but some came out living a decade later. So what happens to his wife? She's a widow. Not technically. Or I should say, not actually, but technically. So this is a double curse. Now, one thing is very clear from both the fact that the Torah spelled out Almana v'yasim. It's very clear we're talking here about widows and orphans. It's very clear. Because verse 22 says they're going to cry out and that their spirits are low and they're emotionally raw and they'll cry very easily. And then it says v'chara api v'hayu nesheichem almanus u'b'neichem b'seim. It's very clear that it's mida k'neged mida. One measure engenders or results in the other measure. So we are talking about widows and orphans here because it results in widows and orphans here. And yet Rashi tells us that t'chuadin l'chaladim. This is really about everybody. It doesn't sound like everybody. It sounds very specific. Sounds like speaking about widows and orphans. And if it's talking about everybody, why wouldn't it say it? Exploitation is wrong. To exploit somebody who's in a weakened situation is always the wrong thing to do. That's not hard to understand. But the Torah clearly underlines and highlights the idea of Yasam Al-Mana. So this has to be understood. So we're going to take a look now in the Biurim.
This is highlighted in Mishnah.
You are thinking about the Halalukas. Following Ashrei, Yosim v'almana ye'eded, that God will encourage the widow and the orphan. V'derech Hashem Yavis, he will stamp out or cut out the path of the wicked. So it doesn't clearly say that somebody's exploiting or somebody will be punished for exploitation, but it could be understood from that. But here's the source of where the Torah actually says it. So on the bottom of page Kuf Mem, we're now in entry Chav Dalet, the 24th section. The Rebbe asks two very, very powerful questions. Number one, this business, Dibur HaKosov Behaveh, the Torah used the frame of speech that was available to it, the most common frame of speech. Rashi says this has already been brought twice in Parshas Mishpatim. Twice already. So why does Rashi have to repeat it a third time? We know already that there's a Dibur HaKosov Behaveh. The Torah speaks about an animal who violently assaults another animal. Which animal is it? Any animal. If your dog attacks somebody, you're responsible. If your cat attacks somebody, you're responsible. It's self-understood. If your pet chimpanzee attacks somebody, you're responsible. What does the Torah use? The Torah uses the idea of the ox. Because people had oxen. And oxen, gore. So why does the Torah talk about an ox? And if it's my pet giraffe, then it's okay? And the answer is, I'm responsible for all of my animals. Dibur HaKosov Behaveh. The Torah prohibits sorcery and witchcraft. Is it a gender thing? Machashefa is a female witch. But really, when most people say the word witch, what image do they conjecture in their mind? You think of a female. Why? Because for whatever reason, it was and continues to be associated, that practice of the occult continues to be associated with women, for whatever reason. So Dibur HaKosov Behaveh. There was always more women practicing occult than men. For whatever reason. So Dibur HaKosov Behaveh. It's wrong if a woman does it, but okay if a man does it? A witch is a witch. Does it make a difference? So why does Rashi have to come along now and say Dibur HaKosov Behaveh? We already know Dibur HaKosov Behaveh. It's question one. And the second question is, why does Rashi change his verbiage here? He could have said Echad Almana V'Yosim V'Echad Kol Adam. And that's the way he's spoken previously. Echad. Whether it's this exact case or any other case, regardless, anybody. Instead it says, Hu Hadin. The same rule would apply. That's not saying the Torah is talking about everybody. He says the Torah is talking about widows and orphans. The same rule would apply to anybody defenseless that you exploited. But it doesn't say the Torah is talking about everybody else. And anyway, as the Rebbe doesn't point this out, but as I showed you, if you look at the cadence of the verses clearly seem to be speaking about Yasav Abana, straight through to the punishment. We're talking about widows and orphans here. Vabir Bezer. So this is the explanation. Haklal Dibur HaKosov Behaveh, the rule. The Pasuk speaks to us in the present tense, or in the most common syntax. B'mashma'usay harigila, in its typical understanding, in its typical intimation means, HaKosov Neiket Bedugma Mitziusis. The Pasuk, the verse, will take an example. Because every idea needs to be couched in certain terms. You need to convey it. So you use an example. The Pasuk will use an example. So you could say, such and such a rule applies, for example. You're not allowed to take advantage of somebody in business. For example, sell them a fake Rolex. But you could sell a fake Gucci bag. No. And how about fake eyeglasses? And how about fake clothing? And how about fake food? No, you can't do that. You can't misrepresent. So, well, why did you say a Rolex then? I said, for example. So that's the idea of Dibur HaKosov Behaveh. The Torah uses an example. And therefore, from one example, we learn that it applies to everything like this. There really isn't an intrinsic difference between a fake Rolex and fake Cheerios. One is a grand larceny, and one, you ripped somebody off pennies. It's the same thing, same idea. You know the Fry's Cocoa? They sell in all the Canadians sell Fry's Cocoa. You don't know? There's a yellow packaging. FRY. It's kosher. They don't sell it in the States. It's from England. Purveyors of cocoa to the royal family. Was it worth it? They got bath in cocoa? I don't know, but that's a... Do you know they found out about fries cocoa? They use cocoa to provide the Canadian market with. So Canadian law allows them to mix in something like 16% of foreign cocoa, of local cocoa, and still call it fries cocoa. But if it would be 17%, then they would be misrepresenting. I may be off with my numbers, but by my percentages. Do you know what Canadian whiskey is? Canadian whiskey, in Canadian law, you're allowed to have a certain percentage, I think it's up to 20% of foreign substances mixed in, and you can still call it whiskey. But you can't do that in the United States. And you can't do it in Scotland, and you can't do it in England. So therefore, everybody thinks Canadian whiskey. Oh, we make whiskey. Sure we do. We make whiskey, which is half water, or other things. It's actually mixed in, and they send it to the States in these drums, and they mix it over there, and you could still get away with it because you call it Canadian whiskey. Which presents a huge problem with kashrus, just by the way, but okay, a huge issue. You have to rely on something called batel echad b'sheish. It's a huge issue, and not for now. What's my point? My point is misrepresentation is misrepresentation is misrepresentation unless you do it by the law. So how are you getting away with it? It actually is misrepresentation, but it's legal misrepresentation. So you get away with it sometimes, as long as it's legal. So the Torah would say, for example, misrepresentation, which is illegal. Everybody misrepresents to a certain degree. All the advertising is misrepresentation. All the beautiful people in the advertising, they aren't so beautiful. They're all computer engineered, these pictures today. It's misrepresentation. They're selling houses up the block here. They have a picture of a beautiful woman. And you're buying a beautiful woman, or you're buying a beautiful house. Who cares what you're buying? They're just playing games with you, that's all. To play games with people's mind. They sell them the picture of something they want, and then they get them to buy something that they don't need. It's all misrepresentation. So the Torah will say, you can't misrepresent. People misrepresent every single day. Are they guilty of exploitation because they misrepresent every day? So the Torah will say, so here's an example of what we call misrepresentation. A fake Rolex, that is misrepresentation. Why? You sold a product, you said it's something else, but it's not that. That's exploitation. That's misrepresentation. That's the reason for an example. Because if you don't give an example, otherwise it's not clear. So in that case, how many examples does the Torah have to give?
One.
Exactly. One example does it. You can't misrepresent. For example,
the ox
who gored. It doesn't say the ox and the cow and the caterpillar. It talks about one example. One example is good enough. Here, how many examples do we get? That's a problem. Amon v'yosin. Don't take advantage of a disadvantaged. Don't exploit. In English, the word exploit automatically means somebody has a weakness. For example, a widow. For example, an orphan. Why does it say Almana and Yosin? This is a problem. This bothers Rashi. Kivan Shakosiv kan neket shtei dugmois, because the Torah uses not one but two examples, kol Almana vi Yosin, it's two different classes of people. One is missing a spouse, one is missing a parent. It's not the same. So it's pretty clear that the Torah is talking about widows and orphans. It's not talking about everybody. And therefore, you cannot simply, Rashi couldn't come along and say, Echad almana, Echad yasim, Echad kol echad, whoever, Echad kol adam. That wouldn't be fair to say. So therefore, Rashi has to say, Hu hadin. The same rule would apply. The Pasuk is talking about a widow and an orphan. It's not an example. The Pasuk is talking about that. But you should know that the halacha would apply to any kind of person who's defenseless or disadvantaged. Elasha adava meira tamia. This is something which is shocking. So what, would you think that it's okay to exploit other people? The person is not too wise. He's dumb. He's dumb in ways of the world. He's a fool. Oh, exploit away. So long as she's got a husband, take advantage of her. Do as you please. Would anybody in his right mind say that? Everybody understands exploitation is wrong. It's the same exact halacha, it's the same exact din. The pasuk is indeed talking about a widow and an orphan. The pasuk is about talking about people whose emotions are exceptionally raw. And the Torah tells you why. And it's because these lefi shehem tushushe koyach v'davar matzil anoisim, because they are naturally emotionally raw, and it is a human nature. Yes, human nature is ugly. Human nature is capricious. Human nature is exploitive. Human nature is to take somebody who was in a powerful position yesterday, today they're weakened, and to exploit that. That's human nature. And human nature is that when somebody goes through such an experience, they are emotionally raw and weakened. It's human nature. And therefore, the Torah has to warn you about this specific case. The Torah doesn't have to tell you about somebody who's blind. Don't put a stumbling block in front of him in a literal way. The Torah doesn't have to tell you that somebody who's stupid enough to be exploited, that you should exploit their naivete and their foolishness. The Torah is speaking about the most common example because it's more than just a common example. The Torah is emphasizing this example precisely because it's human nature. But hu adin, the same rule would apply as to any situation. You're exploiting somebody's weaknesses. The bottom line is we have to live mindfully and be careful not to exploit others, especially because it's within the scope of our human nature to do so. We're created with people look for the easiest way to make a profit, the easiest way to get away with things, and to exploit people's weaknesses comes unfortunately naturally to us. And therefore we have to be extra careful not to exploit anybody, especially somebody like that whose emotions are raw, will cry out to Hashem because God really has no patience for it.